from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, to be together as God's people, to be in relationship with others, to be in relationship with God. We were created to be in relationship. It's woven into our DNA because that's the DNA of our God, a God of relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, yet three distinct persons joined together in relationship with one another. And so we long for relationship. And the great news for us today is that we have a God who comes to us, reveals himself to us, and seeks to be in relationship with us. Over the last 6 weeks, we really focused our attention on exploring who this God of ours really is. And today, we're privileged to take a look and see. Like those disciples did on that mountain of transfiguration, they saw Jesus for who he really was. And so through eyes of faith, we are given that opportunity today to see in Jesus the very reflection of who our God is, this God who wants and longs to be in relationship with us. So can we know God personally? That's a big question that people have many different answers to, and you may be wondering as well. And so today we're gonna focus our attention and see again we have a God who reveals his heart to us, a God who longs to be in relationship with us. We could take a quick look at what other people may be thinking about this idea of having a personal relationship with God.
Well, it's like what I always say, like my relationship with God is not private, but it is certainly personal.
I don't see him as being human, so you can't have a human relationship with him.
Nanini wala ako na tayo ay magkakamayroong personal na relationship sa Diyos dahil sa scripture at sa pagmamahal natin sa anak niya si Jesus.
There are people who believe that what shirt I put on this morning, that God cared what shirt I put on. That's nonsense.
I do think God is so big and so vast that we'll never get to know him exhaustively.
I feel like I heard a voice from heaven speak to my situation and tell me that everything's going to be okay. And I've lived a blessed life since then, since turning my life to God.
You have to experience it for yourself. I think it's something hard to describe unless you're actually willing to go there.
It's hard to believe that we've been friends for over 40 years. I think we met in seventh grade science class at Woodbury Junior High. We ended up that summer spending a lot of time together, riding bikes. I remember going over to each other's house. And that continued into high school. We watched movies over at his house. This was back in the days of VCRs. When they first came out, they were about as big as the tabletop, and their family was the first to have one of those, and so we'd spend time over at their house together, probably too much time for his parents, because his dad would always say, "Eric, tell him to go home," you know. We'd get into a little bit of trouble, not too much, you know, but that's kind of what you do when you're teenage boys, but we really enjoyed a friendship together. Now, things obviously changed after we graduated from high school. He went his way, I went mine. Yet, through the years, somehow we stayed in touch even before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We'd visit each other. I remember we spent a lot of time in college. We'd take trips out to Colorado to go skiing and shared life in the ways that you could. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. Then we both had, you know, both families had kids, and life got busy. And there was an occasional phone call here and there, and a quick visit when we could fit it into our schedule. But we remained friends through the years. And a few weeks ago, I was reminded of that again. My friend Eric was celebrating a milestone in his career as a lawyer and as a professor. Rachel and I drove up to Minnesota a couple weekends ago as he was being sworn in as a federal judge in the Minnesota court up in the Twin Cities. And after the ceremony, we spent some time together, just a few hours. I think it was a couple hours that we just sat around and talked, and it was really great to catch up and relive old times, and it was good to be together. It reminded me again, you know, how we have been created to be in relationship. We were never meant to live life alone. We need connection, and not just on our computers and on our phones, but we need a personal relationship with other people. Companionship, friendship. And I'm sure you have probably come to discover that in your life, the best part of life are those relationships that you have. Most people will tell you it's not their possessions, their things, or their stuff. It's not even their accomplishments or achievements or activities that matter most in their life. But it is the people that they are in relationship with. Because there is a longing for connection with each other. And I believe that longing that for connection stems from the fact that we were meant to be in connection. We were made to be in connection, not just with other people, but with God Himself. And deep down in each of our hearts, there is this longing for God. Peter and James and John experienced that firsthand on the Mountain of Transfiguration. I mean, God in person, God in their midst, God in the flesh. But what I find so fascinating about that story is they just didn't know what to do with it, did they? They didn't quite know what to do as they found themselves on this mountaintop situation. I mean, the scripture in Luke tells us that they almost slept through it. Now, I kind of find that fascinating, but that's what they did when Jesus prayed. They spent a lot of time sleeping. But I think we'll talk a little bit more about how that kind of relates to us as well. I mean, so they didn't know what to do with it. They almost slept through it. They didn't really fully understand it. What did Peter say? Hey, let's build some tents and we'll just hang out here. This is awesome. And then what really got me is, as Luke says, they failed to even talk about it. I mean, they had just experienced the most amazing, life-changing thing, and we're not going to even speak of it. And let's face it, we don't always know what to do with the fact that God longs for a real relationship with us. So often we miss it, or we don't understand it, or we struggle with it. Why would God want to have a relationship with someone like me? Like a sinful, broken person that I am. But you see, that doesn't stop God from coming and longing to be in relationship with us, His people. And what is so amazing is that over and over again, God comes to us, not demanding we go to Him. He chooses us as he reveals to us His plan for life and salvation. He calls us to really listen to Jesus. Because as we listen to Jesus, God reveals Himself to us. Not as a God of judgment or wrath or vengeance, but a God of grace, a God of love, a God who is in our midst, who comes to us so that we can really see Him for who He is. As this God comes to us in sometimes mysterious and mind-boggling ways, but with us in the everydays of life, in the joys and in the struggles, in real life, showing us who He really is and truly is. I mean, isn't that what we find in our gospel reading for today? Our God calling us to follow him in the way of life as we live the real life with him. As we recognize that, yes, indeed, we can have a personal relationship with our God. And not just know it up here in our heads, but experience it and live it out from our hearts. This mystery of God being present with us so that we can know him personally. So that we can reflect that light that shines on us and through us as we live life with a purpose, as we have a passion, as we actually live our lives like God is with us. Because this is the mission that we have been given as followers of Jesus. This is what we're called to do. This is our purpose, to reflect this light, to love as Christ has loved us. Because we are the ones who have experienced this love of God that are actually changed by it. Changed in who we are and changed in how we live our lives so that we can share this, so that we can pass this on to our neighbors, to the next generation, so that they can experience this life-changing love of God and be followers of Jesus too. And you see, this happens as we live lives that are transformed by God's truth. That our God longs to be in relationship with us, his people. Now, on a day like today, I must say it kind of seems like a long way off. You know, the warm breezes of summer, wearing your shorts, actually sweating a little bit, sitting on the back porch enjoying late night dinners. That's what we like to do at our house. Good food, good ambiance, good friends. We've come to really enjoy our summer ritual of eating a dinner. We don't eat usually in the summertime till 9 or 9:30 at night. That's when everybody can kind of gather together. I'm finding out that's kind of a Spanish, you know, kind of tradition, or, you know, that's what they do. It's been amazing to see what's happened through the years as we gather on the back porch and eat those meals together, as neighbors and friends will stop by because they know we eat that late, and just have conversation and enjoy one another's company. Really, actually live life together, because it's amazing to me what happens around a dinner table. Where there is food, those gathered often become family. Jesus obviously understood this, right? I mean, on more than one occasion, we read of Jesus dining, don't we? Usually with outcasts and with the broken and those in need. Jesus certainly sought to live life with his disciples. He ate with them. He shared life with them. He sought to show them so much, much more. And really, isn't that what we've been experiencing in this season of Epiphany? The light shining in the darkness. And as we've read through the Gospels, we've experienced and seen who this Jesus is in small ways, through his miracles and through his relationships and through his teachings, which really finds its conclusion today on the mountaintop, as Roman numeral 1, as Jesus's true identity is revealed to us in this transfiguration event. As the amazing happens, as the miraculous happens, as we have the opportunity and the privilege to see Jesus for who he really is. As his face is changed, as his clothing becomes beams brightly, as Jesus is revealed in all of his glory. But as we look, I must tell you, there's more going on here than meets the eye as Jesus, point number 1, as he gets real with us. As he reveals to us who he truly is. As his human nature is revealed. And where do we see that in this text, that Jesus is at the same time both human and divine? Well, it seems to me that there's a reason Jesus is praying to his Father, because he knows what's coming as he makes his way to Jerusalem. As a human being, he's struggling with this because he knows what's ahead. He knows what is in store. And so in order to be strengthened, he needs to be in relationship with his Father. But it's not just his Father who is there to encourage him. It's amazing that Moses and Elijah show up. And I'm sure they're talking about his departure, the scripture says in the book of Luke. But in other places, it's they're talking about his exodus, this rescue mission that he's going on. And I'm sure they're there to encourage him not to give up, not to give in to this temptation to quit. And then at the end of this text, Jesus is again commissioned by his Father with the same words spoken at his baptism. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Jesus' human nature is revealed on this mountain of transfiguration, even as his divine nature is made known. God in person coming to us, coming for us, so that we can know and experience a real relationship with our God. A personal relationship as we talk with God, as we walk with God, as we come to his table to be fed and to be forgiven. As Jesus, point number two, as Jesus gets ready. Ready on that mountain of transfiguration to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. For he would be coming down off that mountain, going to Jerusalem, where he takes our sin, where he dies our death, where he shows in full view for all to see who he really is. That he is truly one of us, as he suffers and dies in our place. That he is truly God himself, as he does what only God could do. Overcoming death and the grave once and for all. Overcoming death and the grave for you and for me, so that we can now have a personal relationship with our God now and for all of eternity. You know what can happen so quickly when you're behind the wheel of a car? You find yourself nodding off. Maybe you're tired from a short night of sleep, or worn out from work, or mesmerized by the monotony. Yesterday I drove back from Wall Camp, and I was, you know, driving back 88, and it's all just fields. And I was like, oh boy. You know, I started to feel my head to start to bob, and I said, whoa, now it's time to wake up. Time to wake up. Now, it seems strange to me that the disciples would be heavy with sleep on the mountain of transfiguration. I mean, how could that happen, we think to ourselves, right? I mean, how could they be sleeping through this? But let's face it, it still happens to us, doesn't it? As we close our eyes to Jesus, as we close our eyes to his presence, as we close his eyes to his promises, as we close our eyes and our hearts to the peace that he seeks to bring. But Jesus doesn't give up on us as we are Roman numeral two, as we are transformed, as we listen to him. Changed people. As we point number one, as we embrace his presence. Knowing our God is with us. Even when those around us fail us, God is with us. In the joys of life, in the struggles of life, as our God comes near to us in his word, as we listen in the sacraments, as he assures us in the waters of holy baptism, the promise is made that this is my Son, this is my daughter who I have chosen. As we come to this table today and dying again are fed with the very body and blood of Jesus. Our God is near. And as we are given eyes of faith to see, as we point number two, as we receive his love, as knowing that our God is crazy about us, that he assures us that we belong and that we matter and that we are his. As we point number three, recognize his accessibility. As he comes to us, opening the door for us to real peace in our lives, real hope for the future, real joy in our hearts. As we point number four, as we claim his promise, that in Christ you and I have been made new and different people. That we are people who can reflect the light of God's glory as it shines through us. As we are people who love as we have been loved, as we forgive as we have been forgiven, as we are people who are ready to live eye-opening lives as we follow now in the way of Jesus. I must tell you, it's good to know that we don't have to live life alone. Our God comes. He comes to us so that we can know him personally. He comes to us so that we can be transformed, that we would be people who are truly following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.